Presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man.
That was the shot that killed Harry Lime. He died in a sewer beneath Vienna. As those of you know who saw the movie, The Third Man. Yes, that was the end of Harry Lime. But it was not the beginning. Harry Lime had many lives. And I can recount all of them. How do I know? It's very simple. Because my name is Harry Lime.
Point him out to me, Harry.
See? There he is. One that's knocking his pipe off. That's Stan Pierce. That's our little old sucker. And a polo coat.
Not bad looking, is he?
Keep your mind on your business now, Jenny. He's worth at least $30,000 to me if you do as I tell you.
Don't worry, Harry. I'll have him in Havana with his $30,000 on a plate inside of 48 hours.
Oh, okay. I'll be waiting for you. Now, try and get a seat near him on the plane. And don't forget, when you meet me in Havana, I'm not Harry Lime. I'm J. Harrington Lime, the Wall Street tycoon.
Can you stay over here in Miami another day?
Oh, Stan, I'd love to, but you don't know my boss. I've got to fly to Cuba first thing tomorrow morning to give him the contracts he sent me to New York for. If I'm not there, ouch.
Sounds like a sled driver. We begrudge you one day in the sun here.
Mr. J. Harrington Lime is a stinker, especially to his secretary.
J. Harrington Lime. You say that name as though I should have heard of him.
Only if you work in Wall Street.
If he's such a stinker, why don't you quit your job?
That's what I want to do. The only thing I want to do is make some money before I do. If only I could just figure a way to...
Do what?
Well, I'm not sure that I... Oh, I'm being silly.
What?
Oh, I started to think I shouldn't tell you about it, but I don't know why I shouldn't. You don't know Mr. Lime, after all. You probably won't see him anyway. Besides, you're nice. I like you. I sure think I can trust you.
Sure you can. You got an idea?
Well, you see, Mr. Lime's a great sportsman. Loves to gamble. On the fights, the races, almost anything.
Matter of fact, me too.
Well, anyway, so Mr. Lime's got this big palace of a place in Cuba near Havana. You know, mink line, swimming pool, tennis courts, the works. And right on his estate, he's found that one of the workmen, a Cuban, is a wonderful boxer.
So?
His name is Pancho Cordobas. He's really good. At least, I don't know much about boxing, but the trainer, Mr. Lime, brought down, and the doctor and everybody, they all say Pancho will be a world champion.
Really? Pancho Cordobas. Funny, I never heard of him.
It's not funny. Would be funny if you had heard of him. He's had 10 fights, won every one by a knockout. But don't you see? Mr. Lime just keeps him under wraps. All his fights were held in secret.
In secret? I don't get it.
Sure. So that when Mr. Lime matches him in New York, he'll be absolutely unknown. He's trying to get him matched up against top boys. And whoever it is Pancho fights, Mr. Lime will be able to get simply wonderful odds. See?
Beginning to. But I don't see how you figure to make any money out of this. Are you going to...
Let me tell you. In secret, of course. Now, Mr. Lime always tries to get his guests to bet against him. He takes Pancho, and he'll give big odds because he's so sure of Pancho.
Yeah, and?
Pancho has agreed with me that he'll lose this next fight if I give him the word. He'll... What's the expression?
Take a dive.
That's it. For a price. Mr. Lime's been giving him a purse of $5,000 every time he wins. We agreed I'd give him twice that if he loses.
This Lime, he gives good odds on Pancho?
Last time he was trying to find takers at 10-1.
How can you lose?
I know. Isn't it awful?
That's awful. It's a smart scheme for the girl to have thought of. What's the hitch?
Well, even with all my savings, I couldn't win enough to pay off Pancho. Besides...
You've got to have someone to do your betting for you.
Exactly. So, I guess I'll just have to stick to my job for a while longer.
What would you say if I offered to put up some of the capital for you?
No, Stan. Have you got that kind of money?
On a sure thing like this, I sure have.
Oh, Stan. Look, I'll give you all my savings right now.
Wait a minute.
$1,000. If you can only help me out.
Well, all right. You know, this will be a good thing for us both.
Oh, sure it will. Let's both have a drink on it, shall we? To celebrate our partnership. Oh, Stan, you're wonderful. And You sure you'll be able to raise some cash to bet?
On this kind of a proposition? I'll have $30,000 cash at least.
Oh, Stan, how wonderful.
Well, either you're uncommonly lucky, you certainly are an expert on cockfights.
Just luck, Mr. Lyme. Beginner's luck.
Oh.
Matter of fact, this is the first time I ever saw the birds fight in my life.
Oh, you don't say. That's $75 you want for me. There you are. What was your name again?
Pierce. Stan Pierce from Cleveland. I'm in the insurance game.
Mr. Pierce, you like boxing very much?
Yeah. I go to get to the fights whenever I can.
Where are you staying, Mr. Pierce?
I'm at the National, sir.
Well, good night. Good night, Pierce. It's been pleasant chatting with you. Maybe I will undertake to win that $75 back from you.
Orson Welles returns in just a moment as the third man. Somewhere in America, cerebral palsy strikes some child every 53 minutes, every day in the year. This is a tragic timetable and a ruthless one. Cerebral palsy strikes unpredictably. It can happen in any family, to anyone, at any time, and it does. Every 53 minutes. Yet, it is not inherited, it isn't contagious, and no one can contract it from another. In this country, more than 600,000 people suffer from cerebral palsy, almost 250,000 of them little children. Medical science is slowly but surely beginning to understand cerebral palsy. And through voluntary contributions to United Cerebral Palsy, a good deal is being done. Little kids, many of whom have never taken a single step, are learning to. Others who now can take a few halting steps are learning to take more. Join the 53-minute march on this ruthless, persistent crippler. Mail a contribution today. Address it to Palsy in care of your local postmaster. This message is brought to you as a public service.
It's important to handle a chump with artistic appreciation. Limousines, country estates are expensive, but for me, I regard them as legitimate business deductions. I wanted to make sure this chump Pierce was impressed. I even had a half dozen pals on hand, all dressed up to the nines, pretending to be my weekend guests. Charming people, all of them, really. Very capable of giving my chump a good time, flattering him, making him feel nice and secure. First, I fed him lunch, then a good Havana cigar, then we went for a stroll, our whole party, and I led them casually down to a specially outfitted training quarters.
Oh, Harry, this is the fighter you were telling us about.
Discovered him yourself, I understand.
That's right, General.
Is that why you were asking me if I went to prize fight, Mr. Lyme?
What do you think of him? He's fast, isn't he?
He certainly is. What's his name?
I call him Young Pancho, of course. I don't know yet whether he's any good or not. He hasn't fought a single fight.
He hasn't? No. He looked so sharp, I could have sworn that...
Beautiful, so graceful.
No, he's fighting for the first time next Thursday. You've heard of Kid Burke.
A middleweight.
Oh, sure, he's a good puncher.
Well, I understand Burke's pretty good. I've gotten him to come over and go a few rounds with Young Pancho. I'm making up a purse for the winner.
You've never had a fight yet. How do you know your boy hasn't got a glass jaw, Mr.
I don't, Pierce. That's what I hope to find out next Thursday.
Harry, off Kid Burke's record, and seeing that Young Pancho's never had a fight, I hate to do it, but I might take some of your money away from you at a friendly wager, huh?
Trust Lyme, General. He'll see to it that the odds work for him.
Maybe I could give you a chance to win back your $75, Mr. Lyme. What's the matter?
Excuse me, Mr. Pierce. I'm really sorry. I shouldn't be laughing. I was just amused at the idea, that's all.
Idea of what?
Well, don't you see, I was planning to make up a purse of $10,000 on the fight and any side bets that I could place on Pancho. I want to make sure that my winnings would cover the purse, don't you see? 75.
Well, yeah, I might possibly be able to bet a stake that would interest you.
Oh, that'd be fine, Mr. Pierce. Fine. Sure, yeah.
Well, what do you think, Stan?
He said that it was Pancho's first fight coming up.
Oh, he always tells people that. Don't you see? That's the way they're likely to bet a lot more money on him. That's the kind of a man he is. That's one reason I hate him so much.
I see what you mean. Well, say, here he comes.
Who? Oh, Pancho. Como está, Pancho?
Senorita?
Have a good workout?
Gracias, it was fine. I feel best I ever feel.
Now, don't forget, Pancho. Third round. That's our agreement.
Senorita, what are you saying?
Oh, don't worry about Stan. He's my partner in the deal.
This is safe?
Oh, sure. Safe as a bank. Stan, shake hands with Pancho. This is Senor Pierce, Pancho.
Honor, senor. Senorita, if too many people find out...
Now, don't worry, Pancho.
Yes,
I said it was all right. Third round now. That's our bargain.
Si, third round.
Hey, Pancho, get in the showers.
Okay. Buenas tardes, senor. Senorita,
bye. See you later. Well, Stan?
I'll go in it with you, Jenny. Looks good to me.
Oh, wonderful.
That limey got me a little sore. I'm going to show him I'll take him for plenty.
What do you mean?
I'll have to convert some bonds, maybe borrow a few bucks, but I think I can work it so that I can put my hands on $45,000.
Oh, Stan.
Yeah, at good odds, say 10 to 1, we'll clear.
Oh, it's so much I can't even think of it. Oh, Stan, I just want to kiss you.
Okay with me, honey.
Orson Welles returns in just a moment as the third man. We would all like to get rid of our nightmares, but none of us would want to live without our dreams. And that creates a paradox, because only dreamers have nightmares. But different people mean different things when they speak about dreams. I never dreamed it could happen to me. We've all said that at one time or another. But when an MS patient says it, he means he never dreamed multiple sclerosis would strike him. MS is a living nightmare, a disease that shatters future dreams because it may change the whole life of its victims. The cause and cure of MS are still unknown. This chronic crippling disease in the central nervous system strikes suddenly and without warning. It can strike anywhere, but its victims are mainly young people in the 20 to 40 age group. We can help these hundreds of thousands of MS victims by contributing to the MS Hope Chest. Get in the fight to conquer MS. Give to the MS Hope Chest today. This message is brought to you as a public service.
It's dinner time. Dinner time, and over the brandy, I'm ready to start accepting bets.
Well, General, 5-1, then. I'll tell you what, I'll make it 15-2. Hey, what's the matter? Can't I get any action from you, gentlemen?
Well, Harry, those are nice odds. Suppose I bet 25,000. I'm taking...
Swell. Just give you 25 to Jenny here. Here's my end.
Wait, I don't want to carry this money all around.
Here, take this little satchel. You can stuff it in there. Well, Judd?
I don't know, Harry. I'm not sure I trust you.
Fire thunder, man. I'll give you 10-1.
I'll take those odds, Mr. Lyme.
What's that? Oh, Pierce. Well, fine, sir, fine. I'll take you $75, too, if I can't get any larger action from these gentlemen.
My wager on Burke is $4,000 to $6,000, Mr. Lyme.
Oh, fine. You've got cash, of course. Give it to Jenny here. And, Jenny, here's my end.
Mr. Lyme, I hate to be carrying all this money
getting
around.
Getting heavy, is it, Jenny? All right, then, Pierce. Suppose you be appointed custodian of the stakes.
Come on,
old man. I'm sure everyone here trusts you. Well, can I get any more action?
Oh, you can trust us.
Then let's all go. Fight's about to start. Pierce, got those stakes all right? Hey, let's go. First round. Fighters pretending just to feel each other out. Pancho's putting on a show of fancy footwork. Of course, the two fighters I've hired put on a good show. It's artistic. We can't have Pierce getting worried about how raw it'll look when Pancho takes his dive. Poor Pierce. I know just what he's doing. He's figuring how long a round takes. 3 minutes, multiplying that by the number of rounds Pancho's agreed to go before he pretends to be knocked out, adding a minute between rounds, and he's thinking in less than 10 minutes he'll be collecting his bet. Less than 10 minutes. Whoop. Well, that's because Pancho went down on his knees. Burke really clipped him. Looked good, too. I'll bet Pierce is just as happy he didn't bet on what round Pancho would lose in. I'll just speak to him and see what he says. Well, how about it, Pierce? Enjoying the fight?
Sure, but your foot doesn't look pretty good in there.
Oh, don't worry about young Pancho, Pierce. He'll be all right. Now, here they go again. Pancho looks as though he's got a cut open up under his eye there. He probably won another $10 from me for that. He's sure a pretty good boxer there. Look at Pierce. Just look at Pierce. I'll bet he's adding up his profits again. 46,000 to 10 to 1 and 460,000 minus 10,000 to Pancho. He's 450,000. Split two ways with Jenny means a clear gross of 225,000 smackaroos. Oop, there he goes, down again. That Burke's got a pretty right hand at that. Just reaches out and down goes old Pancho on his
face. 2, 3, 4.
A count of four that time. I better get more worried looking. Pierce might suspect something. Pierce is breathing harder than either of the fighters. Uh-oh, he's looking over at me. Maybe I'd better.
Your money feel safe still, Mr. Lyon?
Oh, at least I know now my boy doesn't have a glass jaw, Pierce. And I just can't understand what's come over Pancho tonight. He seems sluggish. Maybe he's overtrained.
Maybe his reactions do seem sort of slow.
This is rich. Now Pierce is worried. He's scared Pancho will make me suspicious. Round three, this is where it happens. Look at Pierce. His hand groping to make sure he's still got that satchel, thinking, now is when we can reach right out and grab $225,000. Greedy boy. I'm far more restrained. All I want is your $45,000. Better pay more attention to the fight. Pancho's left in Burke's face, takes a right across, stands his back, stands it down. Sure looks like Pancho's guard is wide open. Pierce will like that. Now the right from Burke, catches Pancho on the side of the head. He looks dazed. Now's the moment for Burke to step in. He's measuring Pancho. Here it comes. A terrific right, and it misses. Pancho ducks under, dances away, and the crowd wants to know what happened to Burke. They pretend they don't understand. Pierce, he's stunned. Why? Burke is down on his back, blood spurting out of his mouth. Where's that phony doctor? He should be in the ring pretending to examine Burke.
Doctor!
What happened, Jenny?
Gosh, Dan, I don't know.
The doctor.
Here. Yeah.
In my bag. Watson. On that seat there.
Doc, what happened?
This man's hemorrhaging. He's in very bad shape.
But I never touched him. Santissima Madre de Dios.
That Pancho puts on a very good act.
Apparently, you didn't need to touch him. Stand back, please.
But I tell you.
No. Never mind. There's no use. This man is dead.
Dead? Dead, but how?
Apparently, Mr. Lyon, when he missed that terrific swing, he burst a blood vessel. Completely chanced. Couldn't have been predicted.
But are you sure?
Lyon, your guests.
Oh, yes, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, I must ask you all, please, to leave at once. Please say nothing of what has happened here tonight. I'm very much afraid we're all accessories to homicide. If this ever gets out. Now, good night, ladies and gentlemen. Please leave as quietly as possible.
Yeah.
Quick, please, the money. There.
But what are you going to do?
What do you think? Take it.
But we lost. We lost the bet.
I don't care. He'll never be able to report us. He'll be too busy trying to hush this thing up.
But
listen. A plane leaves for Miami from Havana at midnight. Grab it. I'll meet you at the hotel in Palm Beach tomorrow.
But, Jenny, we're liable to be arrested in a homicide rap.
Do you think I know that? Go on, beat it. I'll meet you in Palm Beach. Hurry.
The most artistic aspect of this swindle was that the chump fled, convinced he was in for real trouble, homicide trouble, completely forgetful of his $45,000.
pretty, wasn't it? It's one of the neatest jobs I'd ever pulled off. And as soon as he was safely off my rented estate, my confederates gathered around for the payoff.
This is good business, Harry. How did you like my act?
Oh, you were great, Pancho, old man. Burke, the way you bit into that bladder of chicken blood, I thought the blood had never stopped coming out. Where's that satchel? Come on, we'll split up the profits now.
Here it is.
Where's Jenny? She's the one that deserves some praise, the way she hooked that poor fish. Jenny! Jenny!
She must have gone inside for something.
Well, I'll take her cut and give it to her later. Hand me that satchel. Oh, whenever I think of the expression on that Pierce's puss. Why do you know how Betty? Hey, what's this?
What's the matter?
What happened, Harry?
That vixen? That seventh daughter of a seventh daughter? That double-crossing? No, sextuple-crossing, wry-necked witch? That
who, Harry?
Warren, Jenny Warren. She's run off with my money.
What?
Not your money. Not your money. Mine. I've got enough to pay you off. Every penny. It's the bet she's absconded with. One of the shrewdest schemes I'd ever hatched, and she has to throw the queer in it. Listen to her note. She says, and I'm leaving $5 for your end, Harry. That'll be enough to pay for a long-distance phone call to tell me what you think of me. I'll be in New York tonight. But after that, who knows where I'll be. Love, Jenny.
Harry Lime returns in just a moment. That Billy, the cutest freckle-faced kid you'd ever want to meet. He's happiest when he's puttering around his basement doing experiments with his chemistry set. Rumor has it, he's the neighborhood's budding young scientist. Yes, Billy's the kind of kid who might be a famous scientist one day, doing important research for his country. But right now, his chances look pretty slim. You see, Billy lives in a community where there's a real scarcity of classrooms, of teachers, and of good textbooks. That means Billy's getting shortchanged in his schooling. Let's be sure the children of our community get a better break. How can we help? By joining with other good citizens in support of our school boards, attending PTA meetings and school conferences, for instance. We must have first-rate schools. For a free booklet telling you about the important part you can play in helping your schools, write to Better Schools, 9 East 40th Street, New York 16, New York. Write today. This message is brought to you as a public service.
What is a sucker, friends? Step closer, you're crowding the pavement, and I'll tell you. A sucker is a larcenous chump. Maybe I said that before, but I think I forgot to mention that there's an awful lot of us.